You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standa here, coming to you a few hours after the Wizards held essentially Otto Porter Day out of Verizon Center. The Wizards turned the practice court into a press conference area filled with balloons and cheerleaders and well-wishers, reporters, of course. There was lots of Chick-fil-A food as well, of course. By the time I got done my work, the Chick-fil-A was gone. So that, to me, automatically made the day a downer. But pretty good day for Otto Porter. He'd already signed the contract. The $106 million over 4 years is coming his way. But this was the opportunity to truly celebrate that moment with the team owner Ted Leonsis, general manager, or team president Ernie Grunfeld, essentially the general manager, and head coach Scott Brooks. All were there answering questions, and I'm going to play some of that audio from you here in a little bit. Not actually the audio from the press conference. After the press conference, the media had an opportunity to speak with all the individuals, and what I think I'll do today is play a little bit from Otto Porter, because I know he's the one you guys want to hear from most. But also a little bit from the owner, Ted Leonsis. He's the guy that writes the checks. We talk all the time about the guys who are cashing the checks. He's the guy that writes the checks. It's kind of important to pay attention to what he's saying. So I want to play a little bit of what he had to say as well. In addition, I'll kind of go over three things that I thought were unique, or maybe not unique, but the three things that sort of stood out to me. The looking at my phone, I'm got about 40 minutes or so of audio from today. So there's a lot to go through and digest. And, you know, that's a good thing about this, doing a podcast every day. We've got time to do that, but I do want to get at least some of this, out here already. As a quick reminder though, you can of course find anything we've ever talked about on the Locked On Wizards podcast by going to iTunes or Stitcher or Audio Boom or wherever else you do your podcasting. You don't want to miss anything. Hit that subscribe button. I know you guys are all out of whatever you're doing this summer. You're going to the beach. You're going out of town. You're doing staycations. Whatever it is, hopefully the podcast can be part of your summer plans. You know, you're feeling pretty lazy. Who better to be lazy with than me talking Wizards? Come on, that is like that's like hot dogs and 4th of July or fire, whatever that is. I don't know, apple pie, hot dogs, fireworks, I don't know, Chevrolet, whatever. I'm recording this late, I'm tired. All right, so before I get into the audio, three things I want to get into here. First off, the number one thing is not to do with Otto Porter at all. We all, of course, asked the Otto Porter question, particularly in the main press conference, but after that, when we had the chance to talk with the various principals, you asked other questions about beyond the contract. And in the case of Ted Leonsis and Ernie Grunfeld, you asked, hey, what's up with John Wall? You know, we obviously heard from John Wall last week in Las Vegas. You can hear what he had to say on various topics, including why he's sort of being patient and not signing his contract extension for that Supermax offer. You can hear that on the podcast from last week. But we had a chance to talk to all involved, and I think I'll play some of that audio from Mr. Leonsis in a bit. But just to be, here's a quick thing of what he said though about this. He said, quote, "I told everybody that we would keep Bradley Beal, and already everyone is talking about the John Wall extension. So my prediction is John Wall will sign his extension. He wants to be here, and my goal is to have no drama." All right. That's fantastic. The idea of the no drama is where things get interesting. If John Wall doesn't sign his contract, I believe by the start of this season, then you know, that goes away, or he can't sign it again until after the season. So from the no drama standpoint, you know, we could have an interesting season of, hey, John, what's your take on the contract? You know, I'm sure every time he's going to go out of town, it will be a question asked by reporters, so on and so on. And you know, it'll be something that we're all talking about as we think, oh, what did John Wall mean when he said that? Did you look at his facial expression on that play? Yada, yada, yada. So, you know, I totally understand. I think in the big picture, you know, it's sort of like how we looked at the Otto Porter situation, right? A lot of people were saying, oh, you know, oh boy, is Otto Porter going to leave? Did in fact, you know, the fact that he signed the offer sheet with Brooklyn, does that mean he wanted to go? And maybe he did. I don't know. But, you know, what does that mean? There was, you know, oh no, this report, that report. But on the end of the day, nothing really happened, right? The Wizards have said all along, indicated all along, there were reports all along that they were going to match whatever offers were out there. They did. Boom. Otto Porter remains a Wizard. So, from that perspective, when Ted says to have no drama, you know, it's possible the end result will be no drama, that John Wall does sign that contract. But I do think if he doesn't sign that extension before the start of the season, then I think to some degree there will be some drama potentially over the next several months until we get to the off season. Or until, you know, John Wall says something else, and, you know, specifically about the situation. So anyway, so there was that. Number two, Otto Porter was asked a question. I believe the question was essentially, what in his opinion, does a max player, mean? And that's not actually what I need to go back and listen to what he said. He said the right things. He just said you got to work hard and take on more responsibility and things like that. But then right after that, Ted Leonsis has jumped in and gave his take on sort of the idea of Otto Porter now max player. Now, this is a long quote, but I thought it was pretty good. And maybe I will play the quote from the press conference as opposed to the individual ones later. The individual ones, I have the recorder right up to somebody's face, basically, whereas the other one, you know, where they have microphones, it's okay, but, you know, I think that the other one's better. But anyway, let me read this to you right now. This is Ted Leonsis saying what he, essentially, you know, how he thinks Otto Porter, how he essentially views now Otto Porter as the max player. Quote, I don't think Otto will change. I think he'll improve his game, but we don't want Otto to have more on his shoulders, nor any of our players, that they're a max player. We want a max team, and it would be bad for us if the optics were, you have to earn your contract. The market spoke, and it's fair. It's how the system works. We're thrilled to be able to bring him back, and now what we want is no more talks of contracts and dollars. It should be about wins. And he'll be one of the leaders of our team, and John and Brad, and you know all of our players. They're a great starting five, a great rotation. They now have to set their expectations higher. We want to build a team that can go further in the playoffs than we did last year. That certainly was to be our goal. We have to be looking at 50-win seasons, and we want to be in the conversation about being a team and a destination that other players want to play for. And we'll only do that by drafting well, retaining our core, and then having results on the court. So I'm happy we had this press conference, and it's the last time we talk about contracts for a long time. Now, of course, that's the end of the quote. Of course, I started this podcast by saying, hey, John Wall's contract. So the contract talk will not go away. But nonetheless, I think, I think this was a, you know, pretty reasonable, some reasonable points in here. He signed the contract. The market did what it did. Yes, obviously the Wizards need Otto Porter to go out and play well, but I do think it's a fair point. He signed this contract based on what he's done. It's also based on the potential. Certainly, he's only 24 years old, and that's how some of this works. But, you know, he did have a very good year. I know there are still some people out there who think he's some bum, or at least don't think he's a very good player, or he's just an average starter. By the numbers, that's just not the case. By the eye test, I don't know how that's the case. So much of what he does, Otto Porter is a guy you have to watch him play. If you just look at the box score, you probably won't be blown away because you're not looking at the hustle plays, the instinctive moves to get open or to pick up the loose ball, the solid rebounding for a guy who, you know, doesn't weigh that much, for an NBA player, so on and so on. So I think that's a fair point to make. Look, the market is what the market is. The Wizards had to make a decision. They did. They brought him back. And, again, the Wizards, I've tried to make this point. I think there's some people who think sometimes like I'm a homer when that's not the case, just because I'm agreeing with what sort of the team point of view is. But again, John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Markieff Morris, Kelly Oubre, they're all young players. There's no reason to think that they all individually won't get better, which in turn, will make the team get better. They're all under contract for the next 2 years, at least for the next 2 years, right? I mean, presumably Kelly Oubre, they will pick up his options, at least to take him out through this fourth year. So, if that core, if they all get better, there's no reason to think that the Wizards can't get better. I had somebody earlier give me a little hard time on Twitter about what I said about the D League team the other day and how I sort of graded them as an incomplete. So essentially, in terms of the players that we're kind of familiar with, and by that I basically just meant, look, Sheldon McDaniel, Oshefu, Chris McCullough in particular, we still don't quite know what they're going to do. But the basic reason I say incomplete is because I didn't view any of them as necessarily breaking into the rotation regardless, and I don't think that my tune changed, but based on just a handful of summer league games, it's really hard to say, which is why I sort of went with, maybe it's a cop-out, but I went with the incomplete. But that doesn't mean that the Wizards don't have young players. They do. Their names include John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Markieff Morris, Kelly Oubre. So that is something to remember. They had a very good year last year. I understand they didn't make that big move. We'll see if they can ever catch Cleveland and LeBron and so on and so on. But nonetheless, they, we'll see. The idea of them becoming a destination is probably the bigger question, because it's been a minute since the Wizards have attracted a high-end free agent. Gilbert Arenas was not a totally big, he was an interesting free agent, but he was not a, game changer. He turned into a game changer for the Wizards, but you couldn't have predicted at that time that he was going to be turned into essentially a top 10 NBA player. So we'll see about that part of it, but unfortunately for Mr. Leontes, his hope that this will be the last time we talk about contracts for a bit, I don't think that's happening. I think that conversation remains until John Wall says otherwise. Last but not least, I want to mention, to sort of stay on Leontes, the signing of Otto Porter essentially completes the basic vision that Leontes had for this team when he took over full control in 2010. If you recall, at that point, he had already been the owner of the Capitals for some time. And the Capitals at that point had started to show some resurgence, I believe, or at least you could see the signs of life with Alex Ovechkin and so on. And that team at that point was being built through the minor league systems, through the draft, through young players. And that's what, when Leontes took over the Wizards, how he viewed what the Wizards would do. Now, unfortunately for him, when he took over, soon thereafter, the Gilbert Arenas, they had just gone through, they had just gone through Gilbert Arenas, essentially, the whole guns in the locker room thing, but they were just about to get John Wall, Leontes officially took over about a week or two before John Wall was drafted number one overall. But beyond Wall, the young players that the Wizards had to build around were, who they were, JaVale McGee, Andre Blatch, Nick Young, and that obviously turned into an utter disaster, regardless of what happened for some of those guys later on in their career. It turned into a disaster here and so on. But the basic point is that he wanted to be patient with the build. And I looked this up. Here's an article from 2010 from the Washington Post. This was when Leontes was introduced as the team owner. In the article, the authors, including current TSN Capitals insider Tarik Al-Bashir, they wrote, Leontes acknowledged that transforming the Wizards into a contender will not take superficial change, but rather drafting a development, much like the blueprint that saw the Capitals ascend from the bottom of the NHL to first place in the league last season. He also said he does not plan to hand out huge free agent contracts, despite having approximately 20 million in cap space that summer. Quote, "The money is not burning a hole in my pocket," Leontes said. "I do see smart free agent signings. I do see astute trades. Maybe 10 years ago I would have been firing up the Jets. But we're experienced owners right now, and we don't want to go after any free agent that we don't think we can get just to make the news." Now, the point here that I'm making is that he talked about the blueprint from the Capitals, and that is something that's always stuck in my head, is how he was looking to build the team. And while that, again, that JaVale McGee, Nick Young, Andre Blatch was sort of the first go-around, it eventually was John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter. Yes, they missed on Jan Vesely. Yes, Chris Singleton, and so on. But the point would be, if you had said in 2010 when Leontes takes over, hey, the Wizards are going to have three first-round picks that they're going to give a lot of money to and keep, would you sign up for that plan or not? The answer is, of course you would. And there's no reason to not in the case here of John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter, because of what they've done and what they've shown already and, you know, how young they all are, relatively speaking. John Wall made a huge leap this year. Bradley Beal made a huge leap this year. Otto Porter made a huge leap this year. No reason to think they can't do otherwise. And again, just to be clear, I'm not saying that the Wizards have enough to win an NBA title. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just simply saying, if you go back, in this case, you go back and look to 2010, what Ted Leontes was looking to do, I think you have to at least on some level say, hey, I don't know if giving him credit is the right term, but he said that his plan wasn't to come in and start signing free agents. He said the plan was build through the draft. The Wizards were a bad team when he took over. They were in the lottery a bunch. That helps you get picks. Nonetheless, the core of this team, John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, were picks that the Wizards took. They've now locked them up long term. We'll see what happens next. All right, before I get to the Otto Porter and Ted Leontes audio, just a quick reminder that you can find all kinds of interesting basketball or football podcasts, frankly, for those of you who are into the NFL. Check out all of the options on the Locked On podcast.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. BOOM.
Network.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
All right, so let's get into this. Here is first some audio from Otto Porter, then it'll be straight after that from Ted Leontes. Let me just at least tease the Otto stuff a little bit. He was asked about what he thought about John Wall's comments about wanting Paul George. We don't get into it too much here, but he had said earlier that, you know, look, his plan all along was he wanted to stay with the Wizards. That obviously worked out, but we did hear talk a little bit about his, him going through the process and what that was all about. So Otto Porter followed by Wizards owner Ted Leontes.
What was sort of the conversation? You said you wanted to be back here, but you know you never know how things go. What was sort of the conversation between you and with David Falk, sort of as this period? What did he sort of explain to you about kind of what was going to happen?
It was just a learning process and a learning business. As you know, that was my first time going through that, so I was a lot of teacher moments, business aspect about it. But we came in terms with DC here with Ted, and this is definitely where I wanted to be back here, so we made it happen.
With this contract, I know you're pretty big into like classic cars and that sort of thing, but
right.
are you going to, you know, put some money toward that? Or is there, like, maybe a cause that you hope to kind of get involved in?
Something like that.
What are you going to do with the money, basically?
First off, I want to give money back to my high school. And then I'm also giving back money to my church. So those are the first two priorities, you know, for now. And then my mom gets whatever else is left. So.
Otto, from when you had exit interviews middle of May to leaving July 1 without a contract, was there ever even the smallest bit of doubt that you wouldn't be coming back?
No, not at all. No, no, I had confidence. So.
And how close on July 1 was there to getting a contract?
Oh, it was very close. It was very close.
What was it like playing without a contract this year in terms of compartmentalizing? Did you find that easy to do or difficult?
I found it easy to do, believe it or not. You know, most guys find it hard because all they're worrying about is contract each and every night. But for me, just going out there and playing, you know, trusting in my coaching staff and my teammates, I didn't really have to worry about it too much. And I thank them for everything for it.
How do you think, when you look at some of the offseason moves in the East, Boston, Philadelphia, how do you think you guys have stacked up by pretty much retaining the core?
I mean, that's everybody, and for us, it's just focus on us right now. And I think retaining everybody, or most of the guys here, was big for us. You know, it put us back at the top of the list, and we're only going to continue to get better.
Have you heard from any teammates, congratulatory texts, you know, jokes about Biden and that sort of thing?
Oh man, I got so many of those. You know, I'm actually about to go to Poland with Gortat. He's already saying dinner on me. I'm like, I don't even know anything over there. So definitely a lot about that.
On that topic, I know you heard about John's comments at the NBA award show when you said he was campaigning to bring in Paul George. How did that make you feel when you heard about
it? I mean, we're talking about Paul George here. Now, we can get him on our squad, we can definitely contend for a championship. But it's just motivation, you know, continue to get back in the gym. And I ain't take nothing personal, you know. I'm going to just continue to go out there and work and play my game.
Have you talked to John and Brad since everything became official? And kind of, if so, how did that, what was that discussion of like?
Just looking forward to get back in the gym. You know, we got a lot of goals ahead of us as far as the team, and can't wait to get started.
Otto, when you have to keep working to take that next step, and you know, as Ernie said, these are young men, and John's been in the league, it feels like forever, and he took a big step last year. He took a gigantic step. He's still young. I'm expecting Bradley to take a big step this year. That's how we're going to get to be a really, really good team. And they're entering their prime while some other players are getting older. And so I think we feel really good about keeping this core together. And, you know, to have, I don't know of any other team, we should do the research, that has their three max players being the kids that they drafted and developed and retained.
But although the market dictated that he is, you know, a max contract guy, no question about it, by giving him a max contract, that kind of handcuffs spending flexibility for the next few years for this team. So how can this team improve by just, you stay steady by keeping the core together, but how can it get to the Eastern Conference Finals and get that fourth player and be that half team?
Well, now we need four players. Yes. So that's the new bar.
Golden State has.
Okay,
you know,
but you know, last year we spent more money in salaries than Golden State did. And they are a uniquely constructed team. But, you know, we think having players that are continuing to improve will be right. And I think we've proven that we have as much resources and as much tools as anyone in the league. And, you know, we're in the tax, we'll spend whatever we need to get better, but we're going to get better by keeping our core together and then adding to it. You know, we we managed everything the way we said to try and do well last offseason in free agency. We didn't have that opportunity. And so, you know, I look at our team. We've got a lot of depth. You talk around the league, you know, our top five, top six players, you know, we should be one of the best teams in the East. And you know, you hate to say this, but I like the way we're positioned in the players and the chemistry that we have. So much of it will come down to health. Right? I mean, John was banged up throughout early his career. You know, last year he said, it's the best I have felt. Bradley had lots of injuries. And last year he played. And Otto's had some injuries. But they're young. And you do your research. You know, we'd like all three of them to be healthy. We think we'll be really good. Our big free agent signing last offseason was hurt all year. I mean, health has become such a big part of the overall mix, and it sometimes colors, you know, how players are doing. We're going to go watch the Mystics game, and, you know, we were picked to have a great team. And then I get a phone call and an email within an hour from Coach Tebow saying, oh, my gosh, you know, we have some injuries. And the team, Mike's not going to be a worse coach now. Right? I mean, I'm sure someone's going to write, what happened to the Mystics this year? Well, our best guard is hurt, nor big signing is hurt. She's not going to the All-Star game, right? So health becomes like a real big thing for us. And we did enough homework, and Otto's committed enough to his health that if we can keep the three of them on the court, I think we will improve.
The Otto wasn't the only move, obviously, you guys have made this offseason. How do you feel the overall execution of the plan has been this offseason, and how much did last year's offseason impact it, both obviously financially done on some level, but also from a strategic standpoint?
I think that Ernie and Scott are really, really, really in sync. And so the signings that we made were coach and staff driven. And, you know, we needed more scoring in the backcourt. And Jody needs to prove again to everybody. But, you know, these guys practice together. They play in the summer together. We know he's healthy. He can shoot. I mean, he's someone that we think will be very, very helpful to us. And what they loved about him was not only the way he played, but John's such a unique player that, and we haven't been successful with anyone behind him because the system is so driven by him. And so if you can't plug somebody in that can play like him, has speed, is pass first, and so they think Timmy is a tough, resilient kid. I think he's MVP of the D-League. I love when people say, the D-League's so important. I go, okay, we bought a D-League team. And we just signed a kid who's been in the NBA and who was MVP in the D-League. Well, the D-League's not that important. It's like, well, what is it? Is the D-League a good league or not a good league? And so, yeah, I think this offseason was much more subtle, but I think will be much more successful than last year was.
You said you didn't want to focus on contracts. That was all about winning. But obviously a lot of attention's going to go on John's extension. How do you feel about that going forward and wanting to keep him in Washington?
So I told everyone that when John was coming off his rookie contract that we would sign him and he would be our bedrock player. I told everyone on Alex Ovechkin and Nick Backstrom. I told everybody that we would keep Bradley Beal. And already everyone is talking about, like, the extension. So my prediction is John Wall will sign his extension. He wants to be here. And and my goal is to have no drama. You're in the entertainment business. You need narrative and drama. I'm not in the drama entertainment business. I just want to win some games. And when you look around, the best teams have real confidence and ownership and coach, and they believe you. And that's why I said, you know, I met with David. He said, I'm going to be able to get him a max offer. I said, we will have Otto here forever. Okay.
When you compare this year to prior years, what was the big decision to decide not to go over the tax?
Well, you know how many teams were in the tax last year?
A lot.
Two. Yeah. And if you look at, since I've owned the team, most of the teams that have been in the tax, their general manager was LeBron James. Miami, it was Cleveland. But the biggest taxpayer in the history of the game is who? You know?
Brooklyn.
Yeah. That really helped them, huh? So I've never been fearful of paying the tax. Just if you did the research, you'd say the tax hasn't really been that helpful, and it's very punitive. It is very punitive. So unless you have, like, the right people, just throwing money at a problem doesn't get you results.
Sure.
And so this was a case that, yeah, you have to be in the tax, but you're keeping your team together. That was a worthwhile thing to do.
You're looking at continuity is your best friend.
I would say the data points are, for the most part, the teams whose core have stayed together have good results. And the hodgepodge grabbing of players, throwing free agents in, expecting them just to get it to fit, that hasn't been the case. So, you know, we try to be guided by data, and continuity works. I mean, you look at the best team in the league, their core has been there for a long time. And they were able to bring in a free agent. We tried to bring in free agents, and we're not going to stop. We have to manage things well, but I still think we can improve our team.
All right, there you have it. Otto Porter and Wizards owner Ted Leonsis. I just listened back to a little bit of that. I had heard of the opposite of standing there, but I just heard some of it again. And yeah, it's interesting. It's just interesting to hear, you know, one thing about doing what I do, what any of us, I guess, do in the media, but, you know, especially here where I'm talking about this one team every day. At some point, I have to form opinions. I have to have ideas. What do I think they think? What do I think is happening? But to hear it from them directly, whatever message they're trying to get out there. I mean, you know, obviously Ted is very good at getting out a message, putting out his point of view. And, you know, you heard him do that when he talked about, you know, the core of the team. And when he talked about John Wall's contract that he thinks it's going to get done. I think I realized, I don't think we asked him if he thinks it's going to get done before the start of this season or not, but in any event, I don't know if he would have said that one way or the other. Anyway, interesting stuff. There's way more to dissect here, and I need to come up with a good way to do that over the next few weeks. We have got, barring the unforeseen, i.e. the Wizards make some move in free agency, or a trade happens, or Puna, you know, John Wall comes out and says, I'm signing the contract today, or trade me tomorrow, or whatever. This is kind of it. There really isn't anything else on the Wizards schedule between now and more or less the start of training camp. I mean, we'll get, you know, at some point the schedule will be released. Presumably at some point, you know, John Wall will have a charity event in town, or, you know, Otto Porter said he's going to Poland to go hang out with Gortat. So presumably there will be some videos and pictures online. I guess we can have fun with that. But there really isn't that much to talk about. So it'll be fun for me, I guess, to figure out what the hell we're going to talk about here for the next few weeks. I still, of course, as I mentioned the other day, I still have plenty of audio from already in the can from Vegas and elsewhere. And, you know, there's still more from here. We didn't hear from Ernie Grunfeld here today. He spoke, so plenty more. And there was also more from Otto Porter and Ted Leonsis I just didn't get to here. So more to come on this. Fun day for the Wizards. You know, I just have to say, I guess, from the Otto Porter, you know, I've now been around him for the last 6 years. He talked about that, you know, he gave a shout-out to his Georgetown family because that's where he said he grew up beyond, you know, where he physically grew up when he was a true kid. And, you know, to see him up there today, I thought he was a calm and poised young man, more so than the guy I saw that first year at Georgetown where he was, I mean, look, he's hardly a, you know, a world-class speaker, and I'm not saying that I am by any stretch, but, you know, he's hardly a guy that, he's not the most comfortable guy up there, but you could see a far more comfortable person sitting there in front of all these people discussing himself. He shared some thoughts, some of which you heard here, and it was just interesting to watch the evolution of this guy over the years. So, fun little side part for me. But anyway, good for Otto Porter. Congrats to the Wizards. And now we'll see how it all unfolds. All right, I'm going to end the podcast here. As always, thanks to you guys for listening. As always, please subscribe on iTunes if you go there to do so. If you could leave us a 5-star rating, why not, on there. It's another way to help people find the podcast. Let them know that you think it's a cool one to listen to. And, you know, if you're a Twitter person, at Ben Standig or at Locked On Wizards, if you got any thoughts, I already mentioned, you know, it's going to be some planning coming up to figure out what the offseason is. If you got some ideas, maybe ways you want to help contribute, hit me up on email, bstandig1@gmail.com. All right, that's it. Thanks as always. And until next time, see ya.
Neal gets open for three. Dagger!
Home run, off balance shot. Dagger!